Still growing little by little. I am a member of the community education and learning team. Pardon me, community engagement and learning team. It's a new moniker. It used to be the professional development team. It was changed. We're rebranding our little team within ODF. So it's our community engagement and learning. I met Susanna indirectly through a pop-up back in December, as Tanya has mentioned, and this topic was raised. So a bit about Susanna, and then I'm going to turn it over to her to be our primary facilitator for this morning slash afternoon, depending on where you are. So a bit about Susanna. Susanna tells me that she's a believer in the importance of talent to drive business results and to meet business goals. She is currently the AVP and HR business partner for Sun Life's corporate finance, risk, and internal audit functions. Before that, she was working with the individual insurance and wealth businesses there at Sun Life. She joined that organization around 2018, so about 3 years ago, from a small consulting and research firm where she focused on helping other organizations meet their strategic goals by improving HR and talent processes, and with an additional focus on employee engagement. She has led both generalist and specialist HR teams in organizations from as few as 65 people up to 70,000 across a number of industries, including finance, technology, marketing communications, and advertising. So, Susanna, thank you for agreeing to host us and lead us through this conversation today. I want to turn it over to you. Take it away.
Perfect. Let me just share my screen. Everybody can see that, hopefully. So basically, this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. And I noticed one of my colleagues on the line as well. And I know that we are currently working through a whole bunch of what does the future of work look like within Sun Life. But we also are looking at, what is happening with the remote world. We hear lots of conversations about remote work. We hear lots of conversations about, is this actually sustainable? How does this work? So it was a topic that I thought would be kind of an interesting one to pose to this group. We know through employee surveys and research that's been done that, there's lots of talk about productivity's been going through the roof. Lots of really good things happening with everybody being at home, much more than people suspected could be possible. But we're also hearing a lot about employees feeling fatigued. Zoom fatigue's a big thing that we hear about. We've heard about some of younger talent being concerned about the disconnect from the workplace and the disconnect from being able to be networked with their more senior leaders, who they don't see in their Zoom world. In the Zoom world, you're only seeing the people that are in front of you, and often our most junior folks are only dealing with kind of manager and below. Our most senior folks are only dealing with the most senior. They're not having those conversations anymore in the coffee room with more junior staff. And so there's those networks are not developing the same way that they used to in a office world. And more recently have heard some people speculate that our next pandemic is going to be a mental health pandemic. As people come out of the COVID pandemic and really start to feel what has happened over the last year plus, as they have coped not only with remote working, but children at home, not having that social interaction, and the pressure to maintain productivity throughout a very trying time. That's just kind of setting the scene of what we are looking forward to as we think about what's the work environment going to be like when we move back out of, well, into our new normal, because we know that we're not going back to anything. That won't exist as we've known it. So some companies are talking about staying remotely. We've heard lots of media companies coming out saying we're embracing this and people can work from anywhere. We're hearing other organizations thinking that they're going to be more of a hybrid model. Certainly that is something that we're hearing within our own organization, but nobody really knows what a hybrid model means. All we know is it's going to be a combination of remote work and in-office work. and how the two will be intertwined and how we make sure that we're still leveraging the good things that we liked about being in the office while still kind of having a foot in each camp. And then we're still thinking about other organizations, not as many, but still certainly those that are saying, we're going back into the office. We'll be back in there full time. So as we look forward and we hear about all these different models, we, from an organizational design and practices perspective, what does this actually mean? How do we help our organizations kind of move through this? And so how do we design those structures and practices to mitigate for the challenges of working either in a remote or hybrid environment? How do we pull the best of both? How do we maintain the positives and overcome some of the negatives? So that's kind of the backdrop for today's discussion. And what we wanted to do was turn it over into some breakout groups. And the first conversation that I'd like to have is around, is working remotely, completely remotely sustainable? Or do you think that working remotely was really only effective because we, when we all went into our various home offices or something that it resembles an office, that we actually leveraged the networks that we currently have and the culture that we left? And there's some research that says that those networks are good for about 18 to 24, maybe 36 months before they start to erode because things change so much. So the conversation I'd like you to have is, do you think it's sustainable or not? And how do you think those networks will be impacted as we go back? How will those networks be sustainable in a remote environment? And so with that, we're going to get put into breakout groups for discussion, 10 minutes for the discussion, and then we'll come back.
Suzanne, I just put the two questions into the chat just in case people wanted to keep them top of mind.
Perfect.
All right, everyone send y'all in.
To some of the key points that you were hearing in your groups, if you want to, if anybody wants to share.
I wrote some notes from our group. So we had a discussion about whether there would be an impact on retention because people don't have as much opportunity to build social interaction and cohesion. I was talking about how the organization needs to be more deliberate or intentional about designing for social cohesion because you don't have the accidental design of office that creates those interactions. And I think there's one more about generally, again, more difficult to build social interactions even outside the workplace, as in people sharing apartments if they move to the same city in the company, and then if you're split around, then how would that happen? But I think the final point was, once people kind of get used to the option of working from anywhere, removing it is going to be a problem.
Other thoughts? I think there were some folks that are used to doing this. Thoughts that came out of your groups from those that are used to that 100% remote. Anyone?
This is Kathy. I was in group three. There was a comment from some people. Diane, feel free to jump in. I see you on screen. A comment from some people who were saying, yeah, a lot of people have been doing this for a long time. But the concern is that it depends on the type of work that you have. And in order, productivity can do well if you're working remotely for periods of time, but if you're doing a lot of creative and innovation work, it really helps to have that energy of the people in the room to make things happen. So there's a whole notion of maintaining innovation online combined with the fatigue or the asynchronous or the synchronous nature of the work. One of our the people in our group talked about the ability to just get up from your desk and walk down the hall and have a conversation, which is where a lot of creativity happens. So from that standpoint, we said that for everyone to maintain this forever across the board is probably not viable.
One of the conversations in our group was, and this is certainly something that we've faced as an HR team, is when you're in a work from anywhere, you're also in a geography that is HR that has laws. And so if you have an employee who moves from one location to another location, you're potentially inheriting as part of that a new set of regulations that you need to follow as an organization. So it does can set you up for unintended consequences. If you don't happen to have an entity in that location, and it's the longer period of time that people do that, the greater the risk as well.
In our group, I think we had we started out with a number of constraining kinds of experiences, similar to what I heard Jason describing, and then we also got onto the floor that there have been some exciting experiences and good engagement. But I think in our group, Rob, you might have started it, the idea that there are things that can be done within the Zoom session. Like, I forget what you said. You can speak up if you want on it. But they have like a pull together kind of question as a way to get us connected so that we have some of those good experiences. And my best guess, we didn't quite get there, but my best guess is Zoom and the other media are going to change too. They're going to get more complex.
We've seen that functionality already increase, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is a couple of things. One, it depends on the nature of the work. Some work lends itself better than others. Some organizational cultures lend themselves better than others. Technology plays a key role in how we're using it. There are potentially unintended consequences that you need to think through. But there's both, I think there are pluses and minuses that, one would need to kind of work through and determine whether this is the best way going forward. Any discussion about the networks? That right now I'm hearing has to be very intentional. So how, and well, the next question will get into the little bit of the how we need to think through this, but any experiences where people have been able to maintain those networks well in an organization that has been more remote?
So this is Jacqueline, and our group also discussed that idea, which it does need to be more intentional instead of accidental. So oftentimes when we were in person, we may just be at the water cooler and then that is accidental. However, there were still times where there was intentional walking down the hallway as well, and still having that dichotomy, even while being online, can still be helpful. We're just popping in with someone for an impromptu chat session, or bringing in a couple of people intentionally for an impromptu chat session, if that would be possible. And then another idea our group talked about was, really, this is a whole new skill set that can be either added like in college courses or through the onboarding process of an organization, especially since each org may have a different setup for what the necessary skill set would look like in order to be successful if either in a hybrid or remote role.
I love the idea that what you just said, though, where we would normally have gone down the hall to pop into somebody's office. Now it's it's the same intention, but in a different format. So that's a great reminder. Okay, so let's move on to the next question, which is basically, as we think about working remotely or in hybrid environments, how do we have to rethink or reinvent that to be successful going forward? Certainly where we're talking about organizations that aren't used to doing this. And then as part of that rethinking, how do we not lose sight of our talent pipeline? So those are the folks that we might have just had casual interactions with. And so therefore this environment again does not allow for that. But how do we make sure that we're not losing sight of the people more junior in the organization and rising, which also has implications from a diversity standpoint as well. So I'm going to ask to go back into the breakout rooms and have you think about those two questions. So how do we rethink or reinvent?
Okay, all right, everybody ready?
And the questions are in the chat if you need them.
So what solutions do you have? What were some of the great ideas? How do we rethink and redesign?
I want to invite one of the group one members. Amanda Corrine was talking about the potential of talent succession management in a virtual environment. And I'll use the word potential, good news there. And I don't think I summarized it very well as we were wrapping up there. So I want to ask her, if you don't mind. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I thought it was a really important point about talent and thinking about how that might actually be an opportunity.
I'll give it a shot. It was one of those in-moment thoughts. I was saying kind of two things. One is that COVID has kind of shown that anything can happen at any point. And I think it's opened the door for conversations about really leveraging organizational-wide succession planning. And part of that is talent development at a really high level and knowing your talent. And regardless of who's a favorite or who's high visibility, you know, you have to know all your talent. And I was pairing that with a call I was on yesterday saying that some places are exploring internal talent marketplaces where people can kind of hop onto projects or apply, and they utilize AI to pull up potential good matches. And I was saying between those two things, there's a lot of opportunity for us to start kind of exploring what could work in a remote or hybrid remote environment, especially because, as we all know, context and individual organization is going to require tweaking on each of us in this new unfound frontier.
So we've actually launched an opportunity marketplace. The challenge is when people are at full steam is because the opportunities can be just a few hours a week, can be a few months, it can be a year, it can be anything. Is the
Susanna, you're breaking up a little bit, and I didn't hear the last couple things you said.
There was some sort of background noise that jumped in. I was just saying that the problem with the opportunity marketplace is that people don't always have capacity to take on additional or different types of work. So that is a challenge. But the idea of opening that up so that people get broader experiences is an interesting one.
What Amanda said fit in with something that in our group Rob started to say before he got cut off, Rob was talking about the idea of circles, and he'd been in an experience a while back where they had both live and virtual people sitting around in a circle at equal levels. And I think of that as a marketplace kind of analogy that we get to, although Zoom and the other media right now are in rectangular forms, I bet they won't always be. And that at least there's an analogy right now, even though we're looking rectangular, we have a circular kind of opportunity here. And I think that starts to break up, break up pipelines, break up hierarchy, and lean us more toward marketplace, which will take new mechanisms or maybe borrowed mechanisms that we already have. But I think in terms of design, it's more of a circular, networked, interactive kind of structure rather than the hierarchy. Succession planning, the presumption is that means going up in what? In the circle? No. That's the old hierarchy that we're succeeding upward. And that may start to break that paradigm.
I'd love to know more about the circles and how those are being used or implemented. So is there a purpose to them?
The example that I gave was just a physical example that I taught years ago in the Masters of Science in Learning and Organizational Change program at Northwestern School of Education and Social Policy. And in the building where all our classes were held, in addition to like other flexible furniture, there were sort of high top tables with a few stools around them and several screens around the other side so that students who were remote could be on screen working with students who were present at the university in person. And they sat, you know, kind of around a table at equal level. So it was almost like sitting around the table together and having a conversation. And that was a very clever technological way to blend in-person and remote participation.
That's interesting.
If I can add on to that, I remember in 1996, we had a conference of Motorola people from around the world, and they put big screens up all around the room, and we had groups of like 10 to 15 people on each screen, and those screens were talking to each other, and I happened to be in the Chicago room that had in-person people too. And it really, it felt like a network of interaction right there. Now that was a long time ago, and the screens were big and they filled the whole room. But to me, there was an analogy that popped into my head that hasn't left. It also hasn't been duplicated.
I think in this space that we're actually in one of these rare moments in history, purely my surmise, when our reality has gotten out in front of the technology. So I was experimenting with some of these technologies yesterday where it's called gathering.home or something, but you get an avatar, you get a space, right? And the large space has several subspaces in it, defined in my case, I was thinking about bringing my very large family together for a virtual reunion. But so we had like a living room set up with five or six conversation areas in it. You can move your avatar, just your avatar, and it kind of made me look like one of the Mario Brothers, into one of these little conversation corners, and then others meet you there, and then their faces pop up on the screen, and you have an interaction. And at any point, you can take your avatar out and move it around. It's fairly primitive, right? It's the right thing, right? We create an open space where we can find our own little corners to gather in. Bruce, this made me think about the screens in the room you were talking about. It's fairly primitive. I think before long, though, given the pace of change in technology, we will have similar kinds of things available to us. I still think the technology is being developed that's going to make remote gathering, not meetings, but gatherings and convenings of this sort, feel more natural and more real. I think there's some good stuff to come from what I was seeing yesterday. And I think that will help this. I mean, I can imagine virtual conferences where we get to meet the people who are the talent of tomorrow, right? We have various rooms where the R&D people are, and here are the HR folks over here. And we can move around, and we can sit down virtually and chat with them. So I'm encouraged by what could be coming. I just don't think we're there yet.
So what's interesting is, as you say that, you're making me think of something that we do for our career hires. So we have interviews where there's gatherings, there's larger room gatherings, and then there's interview rooms. And everyone is virtual and they join that way. But I don't think we've used that technology for other things. And it actually is kind of maybe an idea that you've just kind of spurred to say, maybe we should be using that platform in other ways, like talent or other ways for people to network, where we are already using it successfully for a different purpose.
And this is Jacqueline, an idea I shared with our group four was telehealth, and how you could potentially put on a glove and feel like you're shaking the hand of this person that you're meeting. So gleaning really a bit more from what is already out there for technology with telehealth and transferring that into and expanding it in our world for our regular meetings. That's something we could consider.
Something in the back of my mind, I go back to, I think Linda, something you said. There is something about being physically with someone that creates some energy. I kind of feel it. I'm going on gut. And it's like, that does feel like a very human thing. I'm just wondering, you know, can we really replace that energy you get from being face-to-face physically with another person? I don't know. What do people think?
I say no, that's not replaceable, but there are alternatives.
Linda, I see your hand was up. I would agree too. I think the face-to-face is irreplaceable, but there are more and more stuff coming along that would enable deeper connections virtually. Linda, go ahead.
So a couple things, just back to what you were saying about the virtual and the avatars. There is an app called Spatial Chat, which I think is there's some other out there that just kind of simulates the environment of being in a room and walking from a conversation into another. And it, like, if you move towards certain people, they'll get louder. You can hear them. You can be in the conversation. It's pretty cool. It's very simulated, that environment. But aside from that, what I was going to say, which I think Diane was kind of alluding to, is you know, even like all the Amanda earlier were saying about succession planning, and even just the way we think about talent has been very individualistic, moving in that way. And I think what's interesting is people say, oh, how do we compete for talent that doesn't want to live in our city or doesn't want to, you know, move to our location, or talent who wants to be more mobile and moving around? And I think it could be an interesting opportunity for organizations today. We don't really think of talent in that way, in an individualistic way. What we want is we actually want teams that want to work together in a collaborative environment. And we actually want to attract that kind of talent and say, it's not so much about an individual skill set. Oh, so sorry, you know, Carlos, you're so talented and you're so skilled in your arena. But what we actually need is, for certain types of work, we need people who want to create together in a together environment and say, this might not be the team or the team for you, or the company, or the role for you, if you really want to be a nomad, right? And say, that's fine. And so I think companies are really hesitant to put a stake in the ground and say, oh, you know, we require all of our employees to live in San Antonio or to live in Akron, Ohio, right? I think they feel really nervous about that because they feel like, oh, we're limiting our talent marketplace. But I also think there could be a value for some people to say, you know what, actually, what I do want to do is work on a high performing team. And it's not so much about the individualism. So I think that could be a really interesting shift. And maybe for some companies, there's places of role. Maybe some types of work is highly specialized and can be done from somewhere else, and is not so dependent on collaboration with other people, right? It's a very, you know, sort of technical or production oriented work. So that's what I'm thinking about. And I think it could be a really interesting differentiators. You know, I feel like those companies that kind of want to have everyone together, they're sort of shy about it. They're like, oh gosh, we really hate to say, you know, we're competing with talent in these, you know, other locations. And so it's something to consider, or even just maybe allowing teams to live in pods in certain, you know, maybe they're living in different locations.
So the idea of living in pods in different locations is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts before we start to wrap up? Any other Jason, you're very active on the chat. Do you want to
talk? He is, isn't he? Yeah. What is it you just posted?
I'm getting little snippets, but I'm missing out on some of the good stuff.
I just said something. This is in reaction to the pods. One thing, I think it's Bjorn something. Let's see. Bjorn Freeman Benson used to be OTI. Did some stuff with remote and Envision as well. Did something with remote a while ago, and the thing he came up with is something called pod remote because of what you're saying. He wanted certain things to be together, and he was also talking about the management problem. Like he noticed people had to have much more skill when they were dealing with remote management than they were normally. So he said, okay, I'm going to have distributed pods. So not everyone's together, just certain things need to be together. And then those, like, all the people who are working on this thing would be there. But if you're not working on the same thing, yeah, I don't care where you are. But if you work on the same thing, you're all together. And yeah, kind of had that idea. I'm not entirely sure, like, that's the way to go, but it is, it sort of talks to what you were saying about the pods.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting, so my mind goes to, so when that thing is over, how do you reconfigure, or do you have to stick with the pod that you started with? Right?
Essentially, yes. The idea is that if you, like, let's say you were working on, I'm trying to think of what the equivalent would be. I guess Google had this, like, if you wanted to work on Google Maps, you moved to Sydney, Australia. That's how it was. And then when they don't want you to work on them, then they kill the entire office. But aside.
Well, it's a design choice, right? I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah, like that sort of thing. So let's say if you were working on maps, you'd move there. If you don't want to work on maps before, yes, you pretty much, you're somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're restricted to that thing like that. That's what the result would be. So then you go, oh, okay, but that trade-off is interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
I did have a last thought. I don't know if people read any, Noah Smith recently published something. I'll send a link as well, another link. He was talking more like we think beyond our companies and our industries and more just more broadly, like where is all this going? He was writing about whether or not what we're trying to do now with remote is potentially the way that, like, the internet has not shown impact on productivity since invention. Everyone likes it, but you don't see it in the numbers. It doesn't show up. And potentially the reason why is we're not really exploiting it. Just like originally, we never really exploited electricity until we start to use it to distribute how factories were set up, et cetera. And whether or not what we're seeing now with distribution remote is effectively us starting to exploit the technology that we invented a while ago to be able to create a productivity increase. In which case, this is like a broader trend where it's not like, what do you design for, like, what's better? It's more like, this is where it's going to go, because the economic forces are going to push it that way. And then how do you do it well?
Right. And then what technology comes out to complement what already exists. Great. Carlos, anything in the chat that we should, go ahead, Rob.
Just in response to Jason's comment, there's a recent book by Cal Newport called A World Without Email that many of you have probably heard about, but in short, his assertion is that email creates so much distraction and context switching, as he calls it, that the technology actually has been a significant drain on productivity since it's been introduced on sort of white collar productivity. So just an interesting sort of contrarian view on whether technology enhances or harms productivity.
It has the potential to do both. Carlos, anything in the chat?
Nothing I'd call out. I think some good links in there, some other good comments. I actually just saved the chat because I want to go back and revisit it later. If you don't know how to do that, there are three dots just to the right of where it says everyone or the name. And you see those three dots. If you click there, you can save the chat and make sure you save some of those links because they're good articles there. That would be it for me. Susanna.
Great. So with 2 minutes to go, just any last thoughts before we wrap up? I think we've had some interesting conversation. Great. So I think my takeaways from this are technology can either help or hurt us as we do this more continue to work remotely. And at some point, potentially some of us will continue to do that and others will probably end up in something of a hybrid. But when we think of hybrid, technology will play a very large part of how we make sure that people feel connected, whether they're in the office or not. More to come. We actually don't know our final state is going to look like, and we'll continue to evolve. Some really great links in the chats, as Carlos has mentioned. But we have opportunities to rethink in terms of, I love the idea of the circles, the pods, is how to recreate or rethink how we do social interactions to ensure that we're including people that we don't see on a regular basis. But we don't totally want to leave behind the energy from other people when we see them in person. And I think there's a lot of us here who can't wait to have a colleague in the near future. So with that, I will call it closed. Thank you very much for all your participation today.
Okay. Tanya, want to wrap it up with some final thoughts?
Yep. So thank you both for your time and energy and putting the direction for the conversation together. We appreciate it. I've been excited. I've been really busy the last couple of days. We did our team reviews on submissions for this year's conference and started building the agenda yesterday. So announcements will be coming out about who our presenters are going to be. We have a couple of submitters on today's call. So it was fun to see who was selected, and we'll be working on getting that announced. I do, as a reminder, save these recordings, audio and video, and also the chat itself, and we'll post it on the website, and I'll let everyone know when it is available. So if you have any other questions, feel free to stay on the line. I'll be here for a couple minutes. In other words, next virtual conversation will be the newsletter, the monthly newsletter that we'll be holding on March 31st. And look forward to seeing those of you who might join then.
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you, Susanna, very much.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all again soon in some form or another.
Take care.
Circular or rectangular.
Right. Thanks all.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.